Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Along with all the fear, anxiety, and suffering that's accompanying the current pandemic, a silver lining is emerging. Many are now seeing this time as presenting an unprecedented opportunity for a massive leap forward for us individually and collectively, a process that could positively impact humanity for generations to come. Jeffrey M. Smith is an international best-selling author and filmmaker, executive director of the Institute of Responsible Technology, and a leading spokesperson on the health dangers of GMOs. His books include Seeds of Deception, exposing industry and government lies about the safety of the genetically engineered foods you're eating. And he's also a creator of Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives, a documentary that has won 2 Transformational Film of the Year awards. Inspired by his knowledge about the magical qualities of phase transitions, Jeffrey Smith joins me now to share his latest endeavour, A Magnificent New Normal, which brings together dozens of thought leaders and world changers to share their wisdom, ideas, tools and techniques to help us master our own transformation process and help us achieve the highest version of ourselves. Jeffrey Smith, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's great to be here.
As we're seeing the upside of the current pandemic, it's that it's already led to thousands, if not millions, of people wanting to reevaluate and reprioritize not just their personal lives, but all of the systems that have governed the way we work, play, learn, and interact with one another and with our environment. Clearly, you agree, because you've just interviewed nearly 40 global thought leaders, including Bruce Lipton, Andrew Harvey, Dr. Anita Sanchez, a good friend of this show, Matthew Fox, Lynn Twist, Lynn McTaggart, to name just a few. Before we explore some of these conversations and the possibilities that you're presenting to the public, I want to talk a little bit about you and how this event sprang into being. So tell us how and when, what pivotal moment inspired the creation of this?
Well, actually, it was over 40 years ago, before the pandemic.
Ahead of your time.
So I was watching a conversation between a chemist and a spiritual leader talking about how phase transitions in chemistry are like magical windows, where you're dropping new solutions into something, nothing happens, and all of a sudden it starts to move, and the pH starts to change, and then it levels off. And the chemist said, the quality of the drops during the time that the phase transition is underway, while it's making its move, is all important. But the quality of the drops before and after that phase transition are irrelevant. So I learned as an activist to see this kind of three-phase approach in convincing people to adopt healthier choices, because I've been involved with GMOs, etc. So you spend a long time on phase one, which is trying to get people to decide to make a change. And that's a certain set of information. Then they decide, okay, I'm going to make a change. A different set of information comes in, how to. If you fall short on the how-to, on the gems of wisdom, when they're ready to actually make a change, then the change is abysmal. You don't get what you're looking for. Their new normal becomes flat, and you'll have no way to get them to change again for a long time. The pandemic did the heavy lifting. When I started asking people within a few weeks into the pandemic, what have you noticed about your life that's different? It's just as you said, Sandy, people were saying, you know, I've decided to emerge from this pandemic on the other side different. I'm learning the value of quiet, or I'm realizing the value of connection that I'm missing. In every single conversation, people had entered the second stage, which was, I'm going to change. And I realized what we need to do now is to drop the wisdom drops of the best and highest quality perspectives and new choices that we can come up with. But I also knew, as I've been aware of the non-local, non-linear qualities of consciousness and the new science of collective consciousness, that it's not about a bunch of individuals alone. We interact with each other as a system. And I've known many examples where a small group of people acting in a coherent way can influence the whole. So when I realized that everyone I was speaking with was in a phase transition, I also realized it looks like humanity is in a phase transition, and this is an opportunity for us to leap forward. And then I started interviewing people who are representing indigenous wisdom like Lynn Twist or Ilarion Merkuliev or others, and learned that, in fact, this transformation was a prophecy of indigenous people. They've been talking about it, praying for it. We're here. And every one of my speakers acknowledges that we're in a phase transition and describe this as an opportunity that's unprecedented for humanity.
Mm, yeah, I mean, talk about an idea whose moment has come.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So you've brought together nearly 40 luminaries, and you've done it very quickly. You know, it looks like you've done it very quickly and very well. But what makes your magnificent New Normal project different than any other summit event that's been featuring New Thought leaders over the past decade or so?
Well, I think many of your listeners have been on summits where they pile in 5 interviews a day for 7 days. I've been on dozens of summits. You need to dedicate a lot of time. You don't get a chance to listen to everyone. And it's like full-on fire hose. But that's not how people want to transform. That's not how people necessarily integrate new information into their lives. We've created a 40-day transformation arc where every day for 40 days you receive one inspiring, brilliant, life-transforming interview from one of these thought leaders. And if you don't have time to listen that day, it's available for 7 days. It doesn't disappear after 24 hours. And we recommend that everyone get at least a blast of inspiration so you can go directly to the answer to the first question, which is, what is your vision of a post-pandemic civilization? So we lock on to the goal, which creates so many mechanisms to occur in our body when we agree that that is something to achieve, something to look forward to. And then the second question is recommendations for how the audience can step into the highest version of themselves, into their own power. Again, practical advice. Then at the end, we ask everyone, and you can skip directly to it, an experiential exercise that's recommended, an exercise that they can do in our community forum, resources that they can pursue. So we have basically teased out little gems of wisdom and gems of inspiration that people can get every day, but we recommend that people listen to the whole thing and then join the community forum. Now, for those that want to dive deeper, typically in a summit, you can purchase the whole thing, and what you get are a bunch of bonuses, and you get the whole package that you can put in your library, share with others. We have that, but we did something else that no one else has done before, and that is we have 2 interactive venues. One is the presenters in 15 or so different seminars, masterclasses, etc., have an interactive live event for those that have gotten the empowerment package. And we form members of the empowerment package together in small groups with a very specific protocol designed to build community and to help them integrate and live their magnificent new normal transformation. So we're really designing this entire process around transformation and not only giving people the new ideas for them to adopt, but even how to change their life. We have BJ Fogg, who's an expert from Stanford on how to integrate new behaviors as habits. We have David Perlmutter and his son Austin talking about how to shift the brain physiology from the amygdala to the prefrontal cortex, which is a necessary prerequisite to integrate new thinking and new habits. And we have everyone recommended taking a journal and how to use the journal and how to go through and not be overwhelmed with trying to write down every single person's new beautiful wisdom, but to learn what is resonating in you What gets you excited when you listen? Write down the knowledge points on one side of the journal, the action points on another. And then another section called My Magnificence, because there are people talking about how to find your purpose, your passion, your drive in the world. And that's going to bring out more self-knowledge, which ultimately drives the new normal that each individual gets involved in, which will then drive the collective transformation. So this is very, as we say, transformation friendly. It's done in a way that it's brain compatible. It's done in a way that involves many different areas. You'll never see this group of people all in one place. Usually it's just a spiritual group or just a self-development group. We have Sarah McCrum talking about developing a new relationship with money. We have Tom O'Brien talking about shifting from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic. We have Joan Blades talking about living room conversations, and we have 5 orchestrated living room conversations every Saturday through the 40 days. So this is quite different than your typical summit.
It certainly is. I mean, it's interesting because we humans do resist change, and whenever chaos and disruption occur, the first thing we want to do, our natural inclination, is to try to put everything back together as it was, the old normal. Isn't there a theory somewhere that if you want to change a habit or, you know, 40 days is the optimal period?
Well, you know, it's certainly in the Bible. I've heard it a lot, 40 days and 40 nights. I actually don't know if it is the optimal time, but to me, it's telling the audience, it's telling the participants, because they're really participants, not audience, to make this a serious commitment. If you come in and dabble, you'll get something out of it. You may learn some meditation techniques. You may learn some habit formation techniques, how to break habits. You may get some interesting prophecies from indigenous leaders or amazing experiences and wisdom from Bruce Lipton and Sue Mortar and all these other folks. But if you're really serious about it, that's my invitation, that this has never happened to humanity. We have never been forced into this global pause, what I call blossoming in place. I believe that this is an invitation for people to really be serious about stepping into that which is being called from within. I feel like there's an alarm going on in many people, not everyone, but in many people, to step into a higher authority, to step into a greater mission. And that gets drowned out, particularly now when we have all the fear and anxiety and hardship that may not give us permission to think that now is the time to actually emerge different and to create a new normal for society. But having myself been through the 40 interviews, I can tell you that it has changed me from an inspiration that I believe this is true to a conviction where I can see the components of this change, the shift from the classical physics to the quantum physics, from the old understanding of individual consciousness to a collective consciousness, and even things that I can do in terms of connecting more with myself, with others, with nature, ways that I can deal with my voices on the bus, those voices which say, you're not good enough, etc. All of these things are unfolded in this 40-day as if multifaceted diamond, which does fit together. And so there's something special that has been created. I don't know how it came together, really. I think that these people who are in it are simply amazing, and there's repeated themes which reinforce and interlock with each other. I think this is a process to commit to because I think people emerge different on the other side.
I totally agree with you. I mean, certainly throughout the entire period of COVID, many of the guests that we've had on this show have been pointing to this time, including Sarah, including Anita Sanchez and others, that this is the time. This is our opportunity. And in fact, the indigenous wisdom, the Mayan calendar, the ninth wave of consciousness, we are perfectly primed for this.
It is an amazing time. You know, it's interesting that Lynn Twist talks about the condor and the eagle prophecy,
yes,
where these 500-year periods, one ending in 1992-ish, and that there's a few decades, short decades, of interruption, of basically the earth humbling humanity for being in the right relationship. But it actually goes deeper. She said, at the end of that last Pachakuti, as it's called, that the eagle people, the Westerners, have reached the epitome of mind development, but they lack the connection with their heart. The Condor people, the indigenous, have great connection with the heart, but are missing something from the mind, and that it is right now prophesied and necessary for survival and thriving that the two come together to share. Now, when you think about that, speaking to the Western society, it's going from the journey from the mind into the heart, which is the journey of the separated values, the us versus them, to the connected civilization. I've been involved in warning people about the health dangers of GMOs, and more recently, the possibility of nature being replaced by the en masse distribution of hundreds of thousands or millions of gene-edited organisms that could replace nature with a corrupted gene pool irreversibly, and that, too, has its source in this disconnected, separate consciousness, as does climate problems, as does ocean problems. In fact, if you look at all of the ways that we are careening into a wall or off a cliff, choose your metaphor, all of these are found as their basis in this separation, and that the pandemic acts as an opportunity to create like a collective emergence through trauma, as Lynn Twist talked about, hospicing the old systems and midwifing the new. And I loved your point saying that when you have morning sickness, if you don't know you're pregnant, it can be devastating. But when you realize you're pregnant, everything changes. And the more pain happens closer to the birth. And so if we look at this time also as a cocoon, during the time of the cocoon, when everyone is silent in place, it's the imaginal cells, named after the word imagination, the imaginal cells that find each other and then orchestrate the transformation of the caterpillar into an entirely new structure. And she and others, and Bruce Lipton and others, call on the audience of A Magnificent New Normal, and you can go there, amagnificentnewnormal.com, call upon the audience to be the imaginal cells, to orchestrate the transformation, and that this is the time. Once you leave the cocoon, you have the form that you've created no matter what. It's absolutely essential that people who are getting the call heed the call right now.
Well, this is a really important message because so many people are going into fear and panic, and you know, they're being kind of directed that way by, you know, media and technology, etc. But I think if people really understood what you've just said, that you know, especially about being pregnant and having morning sickness, and once you know the reason why, you know, it completely changes your whole perspective of the experience that you're having. It now becomes something very nurturing and, you know, creation.
Knowledge has organizing power. It's part of information theory. It's part of our own experience. If you don't know what a diamond is and someone gives you a very large diamond, the heaviness of it becomes a burden. When you realize it's a diamond, the heaviness becomes excitement. The heavier, the better. It's like, if you don't know what's on the other side of this period, and all you see are what you read in the news and the anxiety about your own financial situation and your friends, and I'm in Northern California and the fires are going on, it could feel like a very dark spiral going down. But when you realize, for example, that Ilarion Merkuliev, who is an elder from the indigenous peoples in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska, say that the indigenous elders describe this as a blessing from the earth, and that this was also a time that the Western civilization is going to start listening to the indigenous wisdom, and that this is all about a healthy humanity transformation. When you hear Bruce Lipton talk about how consciousness is a field and that our cells are like antennas to receive it, but we can also have action at a distance connecting us. In fact, you just take your own cells, and he said this in the interview, you put them 100 miles away, you have a video camera on both. If you achieve a high excited emotional state, your cells 100 miles away will react. Your mother's your mother's cells or your kid's cells, if you're a mother, could also react. There's a chance, there's a connection. Lynn McTaggart talks about the intention experiment, and those involved with transcendental meditation have long understood through science the collective consciousness and its connection to the unified field. When you realize that we as humanity are connected, but not knowing, not feeling, and you realize that there is a leap available, as Eben Alexander talked about when he had his proof of heaven near-death experience and felt the unified community of souls loving each other on the other side, and said that the separation from that unifying love, amplified by the influence of narrow scientific thinking, resulted in all the problems we see in our society. If we can see that that leap forward into the unification side, to the love side that he and Sue Mortar experienced in their own mystical experiences, then we realize this is the time we've been waiting for. So many people know this truth, have known this truth, have been talking about this truth. And as the indigenous people of the Amazon said, our souls have been praying for this pause. And it may be difficult and it may be hard, but it is the pause that we have prayed into place to give us the foundation to transform. And if you look at the fact that all of these careening environmental catastrophes are moving off the cliff soon, it's as if we've created this time where our very survival depends on us stepping into a higher version of ourselves. And so maybe we as a civilization need to be in a existential threat or a collective trauma in order for us to take the leap. Because the alternative, going back to the old, unsustainable, careening into over the cliff version of normal, is not going to work.
No, absolutely. And you're looking to get at least 1 million people to attend. Now, I know this started yesterday, on the 14th. How many people have you got?
Well, it started off slow, because frankly, I did not do my homework and I was so busy in preparing these talks and going deep and creating the forum and whatnot. I didn't have time to do the spade work in terms of bringing on large groups to promote. But the good news is this: when people watch, the videos are available for a week. And when you share them, people then register in order to listen, in order to watch. And we believe that whatever we started out with, it's going to multiply and multiply and multiply. And that we also may make it available after the 40 days for another round for those whose friends have transformed. We haven't confirmed this, and we're not going to commit to this at this point. But I will say this, that the people who are connected to us, who are already seeing some of these interviews, we're hearing that they're acknowledging that this is, in fact, a very special course, and they want to share it with others. So I'm still hopeful we can get our million. And now that I've done almost every interview, I have the time to now focus on promotion, which is going to be a lot on social media. And we already have clips from these interviews that are simply stunning.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is international best-selling author and filmmaker Jeffrey M. Smith, who is the executive director of the Institute of Responsible Technology and leading spokesperson on the health dangers of GMOs. And we're discussing A Magnificent New Normal, an online event which shares the wisdom, experience, and teachings of dozens of thought leaders in a 40-day period, designed to help you create the highest version of yourself and of humanity. We'll be back with more from Jeffrey Smith after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Time's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who've walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Jeffrey Smith, nearly 40 interviews in a short period of time. That must have taken an awful lot of preparation. Tell me about some of those.
Well, actually, I had to find the right people. So that was the first choice. And that was a combination of people that I already knew about because I've been speaking on the world stage for so long. But also, I wrote down all of the qualities that I felt would be needed to be presented. We needed to talk to money. We needed to talk to relationships. We needed to talk to how to process old trauma, the male and female, or the masculine and feminine balance, the relationship with nature, the new science of consciousness, meditation. We needed to have all of these things in place. And so it was a combination of knowing who I wanted and getting recommendations from people and then doing some deep dives about them and also knowing the qualities I was looking for and seeking that. And that came together beautifully. And I had a team that I was working with, and we were using our own self-development and meetings and intuition as part of the process because we took our own transformation very seriously. And then when I actually was ready to interview people, oftentimes I'd have a meeting with them in advance. So we got clear, they were clear that this was an opportunity for them to essentially bless the audience with ideas and perspectives and inspiration and experiential exercises. So many of them were getting opportunities to speak in ways they have never done before. And of course, the first question I ask off the bat is, what is your vision of a post-pandemic civilization? Where do you think we can go from here? So that in itself was perhaps the first time many of them actually had a chance to put that in words. And when you hear that 40 times, it's very inspiring. But then when you realize the process of evolution and transformation, as they described it so often start with an understanding of where you want to go. And so there was a lot of validation about the initial impulse as to how to set this up that was then verified in the context of each of these interviews. And of course, the verification of the fact that everyone was seeing this period similarly, and we had the science of consciousness, interpersonal consciousness, the prophecies from ancient times, all coming to the same thing, it gives a level of confidence that we can not only believe that this is a time of transformation, we can actually speak about it and tell others about it and listen to that impulse in ourselves, which is allowing us to stand up to become a leader.
I would imagine that most of those people answered very similarly that question. I would imagine that there is a shared vision, that many of us are seeing it, and probably don't deviate that much from person to person.
There was actually a variety. You know, people speak from their own angles. You know, Catherine Woodward Thomas is involved with relationships, as is Alison Armstrong. Sarah McCrum is focused on money. Sue Mortar had an experience of 360-degree awareness and incredible light, and that's Deborah Poneman had her own near-death experience, as did Eben Alexander. People spoke from their own perspectives, but what it did is it contributed towards a kind of almost like a diamond-like structure where they all fit into place, and that awareness of how they fit into place really dawned on me only just a couple of days ago when I started speaking about this program and I realized how so many things are related. A number of people talked about the simple technology and ability to connect with other people as essential. Now, when you think of yourself as part of a holistic collective consciousness, you can think of it abstractly, but one thing you can do is learn how to connect with another person or how to connect with nature. Things that we can do with others that all of a sudden change our relationship with the entire community and with consciousness. And then there was the masculine and feminine relationship. That appeared a lot, how we have a wounded, dominant masculine paradigm right now and how the feminine needs to be strengthened. We talk about that both in society, but most importantly, in ourselves. Because I'm always bringing the speaker, on behalf of the listener, what is prescriptive? What can people do? We don't want abstract principles that we can't connect to. And so there's tons of actual things that people can do.
Was there anything in any of those interviews that really surprised you?
That's a good question. What surprised me was how they fit together like a diamond. I had also not anticipated hearing from three or four different people about the prophecies from the past, how they were very specifically focusing on this time, that we had prayed it into place. And also, even what I just said about the concept of just listening and sharing, when connecting with others, a lot of it is about listening. I remember an amazing interview with Jim Mitchell, who talks about listening big. And it may seem simple, but he actually takes weeks and months to teach people how to change the way they listen to others. Mm-hmm. And that what it does is it completely creates a platform of connection that changes the life of the listener and the person who's speaking. And similarly, Alison Armstrong talked about techniques for listening. Tom O'Brien talked about being interested rather than being interesting. That was one of the things that I was surprised how so many people talked about it. And then it occurred to me. Just as Zach Bush talks about the microorganisms communicating with our brains being the basis of a connectivity, when we think about that, what is our receptor cells? How do we connect with the person or the thing right next to us? It is through listening. So Claire and Mark Dubois, who are in love with nature. They have a wild love affair with nature. They speak on behalf of nature. They talk about that level of communion, again, a form of listening. And so that was something that was surprising to me, because on the one hand, it's like, oh yeah, I've heard about active listening for 20 years, but this is a kind of listening and a kind of openness and receptivity. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Ilarion Merkulyev, how that was essential indigenous wisdom that was being overlooked by the West.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're seeing the evidence of that today, aren't we? Big time. Oh, yeah. In many, many areas. Was there, you're actually presenting yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm going to be talking about the ability to step into our own superhero. Mike, and I'm also going to describe, because one of the people that I've been meeting with for on average about an hour and a half a day for 4 months to help put this together, Anne Marie Tommy, she's a medical doctor. She's going to share from her experience of how we both put it together and what she sees as a magnificent new normal as well. And I am, of course, answering the question that I'm asking everyone, my vision of a magnificent new normal. But I like to talk about stepping into your own superhero. And I know that when people feel like they want to step on stage of their life, whether it's actually being on stage or simply taking charge in an area that they have been hesitant to step into, they're dealing with a ceiling of their own fears, their own voices on the bus of you're not good enough, what if people reject you, what are my parents going to say, et cetera, et cetera. And that from my own experience, when I've stepped into a role where I'm absolutely saying yes to protect the genetic integrity of our planet, I'm saying yes with Monsanto trying to discredit me, I'm saying yes, I can speak to any person in the world. I've met with heads of state and cabinet ministers, and I've been on national television. Last night I was on Coast to Coast AM radio with millions of people. I've been on national TV. I've said yes without any fear. And I realize that when I said yes completely to that inner calling, to what I had been programmed to do, what I believe I came here to do, I no longer fear death. I no longer fear doing that work. I may have some fear about rejection on an interpersonal level, but on the level of stepping into my mission, it is absolutely fearless. So I invite people and describe ways that you can go from knocking against your own ceiling to going above the roof. And that once you go there and you're actually working with your own mission and passion and purpose, it's as if you have access to a magical, mysterious support structure. It's like you're there aligned with natural law. It's as if natural law is aligned and supports you. That's when synchronistic things happen. That's when there's a new way of relating, a humility. As you step up to that authority, it carries a humility because you realize you're part of a system working towards whatever it is you're working towards. So Anne Marie and I both work on and describe techniques that we did and believe work with others to move past our small selves into that which is calling us from within.
Mm. There's, you know, people get very excited and very enthused when they attend certain events and get some great information. What are you offering after the event that will keep people connected and keep that, you know, momentum going?
Right now we have two opportunities for that. For the people that invest in the program and the empowerment package, then we form them into small groups. I know from my own experience, I've been in small groups, I think a total of 20 years in my adult life, and some have lasted for years and years. And that we have a protocol that I, based on my experience with men's groups, with curating conversations more recently, and with information that I've learned from others in terms of keeping accountability, I have protocols and also flexibility in those protocols that we give to people so that that's one thing they can leave with. Second, we have a group forum for everyone to participate in, which then can become, again, another opportunity for moving forward. We'll have everyone's email, and I'm expecting that we'll have opportunities to then move forward as a group. I'm hoping, ideally, that we can have conferences or meetings, both locally and nationally. It depends on the number of people that go through and what's happening on the other side, because I am not willing to say this is what the world is going to look like after the 40 days or after we emerge from the pandemic. It might have such a dynamism that's so different. In fact, one of my guests, Holly Woods, she had just written a book called The Golden Thread, How to Find Purpose in the Various Stages of Your Life. And she is aware of a system of stages that people go through. And not everyone gets through it. There are three main stages and there are sub-stages. There's concrete, subtle, and meta-aware. And she describes the qualities of each and what happens to people as they go through. And that only 5% of the population is really in the top third. But she said that she saw humanity shift sub-levels, shift stages during the pandemic. She saw the components happen, and this whole protest movement against racism was exactly the expression of this new stage. And from my perspective, when we talk about connectivity, if we think about how we're actually forging a new understanding of our connectedness with each other, then obviously what's going to appear and surface in consciousness is the most blatant ways that we have been disconnected, where a certain percentage of the population walk around in fear and disconnection. That should appear first. And if we were to follow that going next, it should be other areas of disconnect, other areas besides racism. And eventually, we should have other areas of disconnection from nature being thrust into the limelight. So we ended up with the biggest protest movement in the history of the planet that occurred as a result of, well, sparked by George Floyd's death. But I don't think it was created by George Floyd's death. I think it was created by a change in collective consciousness that was then sparked by that as an expression of what we as a more connected society cannot tolerate. But that connection is going to grow. And so the problems that we've seen with nature that we have somehow tolerated as a system, I think will then be spotlighted and will have to change. The ways we've been disconnected with ourselves, all of these things, I think, are going to be revealing in a sequential nature as our connectedness, as this new understanding, this new civilization emerges. And I don't really know exactly what it's going to look like. This is my best guess today. It might change tomorrow. But I'm confident that moving forward, how we can connect as a group will be interactive with who we are as a society.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Tell me about your the end of the 40 days. You're having a live global community celebration. What does that look like?
Well, you know, I have had a lot of experience integrating information from a lot of different sources. So I was the first person to put together all of the health dangers on GMOs into one book. No one had put it together. No one had organized it, had seen how they fit together in terms of categories. When the top GMO scientists and experts went to China in Beijing and gave a presentation there to leaders, my job was to integrate every single group. I had 99 slides in 19 minutes, and I presented how they all fit together, which was breathtaking. So my job for the global celebration is to reflect on what people heard and to put it together in these themes, some of which we're developing now, but I'm going to be working with the transcripts, working with listening to the interviews again as they move, and putting together this diamond as to what it is that we're doing. But in the process of that, it's an interactive global celebration. I'm going to talk about very specific themes and ask people who want to share what did they notice that changed in their lives generally, but also in terms of these themes. And so what this means is that people who may not even be aware that they transformed are going to hear others' experience. They'll read it in the chat. We'll mention it on the broadcast. And they'll realize, oh, I also am noticing this change in my relationship, this change in my patients, this change in my lifestyle. And so we'll have an opportunity for people to report in, and also a synthesis of everything that went on that's being expressed outward in terms of people's experience. And then we can look with new eyes at that point what may be happening to the collective consciousness if this same type of configuration becomes expressed in society, what it is that we'll be looking for and looking towards. So that's my best guess now. I have not scripted it. It's a sense that we want to be together, share our experiences, and look towards what's going to be happening in the future. And I'll be able to answer better after it happens.
Mm. Tell us about the actual the package, what people need to do. I know you're offering a generous affiliate commission to people. They can sign up and they can get 50% on digital and 40% on physical delivery of any recommendations that they make. So tell us how that all works.
Right. For those that have lists, for those that have a community that you want to bring into this, you can go to magnificentnewnormal.com/affiliate and sign up. And then you will receive emails, copy that you can send out, posts, videos. And then if the people that come from your community want to pay for the empowerment package, right now it's at a discount at the beginning. It's just $59, so it's not very much money. You get all these different bonuses. You get access to the, I think it's 15 live interactive events. You have access to a small group. You get the recordings of everything along with the transcripts. If you want to pay a little more, it's delivered to you in a thumb drive. So we have a situation where it's a very inexpensive package for people who want to go to take the deeper dive. It's the lowest package that I've ever seen available for anything remotely like this, because we want to make it affordable. A lot of people don't have a good financial situation right now, so we wanted to make it affordable. And so that way, if people do participate and you happen to be a list donor and whatnot and an affiliate, then you can participate in that money. You can make some of the money. So we're looking for opportunities to get our million members so that people who have very big lists can participate, and that people also who are simply participants can have a package that they can invest in that will be honoring their time, that will support them in real ways, that they can hook up with a small group and a protocol that will, in the small group protocol, for example, every single week, you can structure it as a small group however you want, but my recommendation is that one of the things you do is pick an area from the previous week that you want to better digest or talk about or you have a challenge with, and you get to share that and have a period of time where everyone helps you and focuses on that, and then you hear others. And then there's also an opportunity to say, what is it that I want to do between now and next week? What are my plans for the development and transformation of my magnificent new normal? And this is what I plan to do by next week. And by the way, last week, I agreed to do this, and this is what I actually did, and this is what the results were. And the group can say, okay, how can we support you? So you're actually moving forward as a group. Because remember, part of the magnificent new normal from all these different speakers is in relationship,
yes,
in community. So we're actually giving a chance for people to practice being in their magnificence. And that's part of the protocol. How would you show up if you're in your new magnificent new normal? How would you show up? Let's practice that every week with this group. And you can also get a study buddy from your group or someone that you live with, so that as you're filling out the journal and writing down your knowledge points and action points and magnificence points, you can share with them. You can discuss. So this is, as I said, I'm looking for people who are looking at this 40-day and 40-night transformation as the time they have been waiting for. And if they need an excuse, realize that the world needs them to do this.
Is there a free component to this, or can people only access it if they pay for the $59?
Oh, let me make that clear. The vast majority of people will pay nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, you just show up. You just show up at magnificentnewnormal.com. And You sign up, and you'll immediately get the first two interviews. Nina Simons, who's co-founder of Bioneers, has this brilliant vision of where we can go and how we can change and exchange our masculine and feminine energies and all these things that are just absolutely big picture brilliant. And then Sarah McCrum, available immediately to anyone that registers at any time, about a new relationship with money. She had an automatic writing, as you know, you've already interviewed her, from money itself, and basically invites us to flip 180 degrees our relationship with money so that we can be much more successful and abundant. And that comes free, and then all of the 40 talks are free, freely delivered. In fact, you get to watch the previous 7 days, and then anything that's delivered, it's on for another 7 days. So it's all free, the community forum is free, and we want to bring in as many people as possible. For those that want to dive deeper, for those that want to own the package, unlock all these different bonuses, the live interactive courses, the individual, the small group meetings, that requires an investment. We want those who are really serious to be involved in that, then we put them together in small groups.
Tell us again how people can become an affiliate. Where do they go?
Do you mean an affiliate or a participant? Because they're two different things.
Well, tell us both places.
Okay. To be a participant, to sign up for the program, go to amagnificentnewnormal.com and sign up. If you have a community that you want to bring this to, and I hope everyone listening that has an email list or a large following on Facebook, you can go to magnificentnewnormal.com/affiliate and then get all of the promotional materials, the educational materials, the posts for your social to get it out there, because we really need it to be passed from person to person so we can have enough people for the critical mass to make the change we're looking for.
Jeffrey Smith, thank you for joining us. I wish you every success. I hope you get your million and more.
Thank you so much, Sandy. Me too.
You're welcome. Thank you. So, you heard that. You can go to magnificentnewnormal.com/affiliate if you want to become an affiliate, and a magnificent new normal to actually just watch the whole event or to sign up. That's all for tonight. You can learn more about Jeffrey Smith and his wonderful work, which I much admire, at seedsofdeception.com and responsibletechnology.org. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. You can learn more about me and join the No BS Spiritual Book Club at sedgbeer.com. Thanks for being with us tonight. I look forward to returning at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.